Queridos hermanos y hermanas, a very faint echo of all the languages used by Pope Benedict just a couple of hours ago on the other side of the world. Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends. The movement from being a witness to the savage execution of Jesus on the cross to being a witness to his resurrection entailed an enormous transformation. The initial shock, bitter grief, had to be dealt with. The disciples, whether they ran away in fear or stood at the cross shaken, had to come to terms with their own part in that terrible tragedy. In contemporary jargon of our day, they needed closure. Some way of acknowledging the awful reality. Some way of finding a larger context to make it understandable. Some way to go forward. And so they came to the grave again. They brought spices, aromata in Greek. They brought spices as if somehow to redo the final burial. Without the haste imposed by the clock the day before, 2 days before, even though John says they had 100 pounds the first time. The gospel tries to describe that transformation in just a few verses, almost like the pleats of an accordion. Pushed it all together. Mary, confronted, shocked by the empty tomb, running back to Peter and John. And they, in turn, dashing out to the tomb. This was not casual, mindless jogging. It was a desperate effort, almost like parents rushing home at the news of a fire, worried sick about what they might find when they got there. It took time. Years, perhaps, to sort it all out. It took time to associate, for example, the separation of the head wrapping left at the tomb with the story of Moses and Exodus, who uncovered his face when he spoke face to face with God. It was initially a dark time, and the truth, the full truth, was simply bigger than anyone could handle. The rest of the story, and there is a great deal to the rest of the story, included the puzzling, unexpected apparitions of this person who first looked like a gardener. The stories of the doubting Thomas who wanted to hold on to what used to be. Who couldn't imagine a new beginning. Trapped as he was in grief, unable to see a new door. Mary Magdalene, who became not just the witness to this empty, shocking, open tomb, but an apostle to the apostles, and all those who gave witness to the risen Lord. Paul to the Corinthians says it was first of all to Peter, then the 12, then James, then 500 disciples, then the apostles, and Paul says, and finally, last of all, to me. Eventually, all the baptized, and that includes us, who may not have seen him that first few days, but who have experienced the newness of life, who have experienced forgiveness of sin, who have experienced the beginning of a transformed world slowly, gradually coming into existence. All of us are part of that story. Every Christian, by reason of baptism, is first and foremost a witness to the resurrection. Witness as a spectator who can point out the signs of renewal everywhere. But also witness in the sense of personal evidence, like the before and after pictures of ads for weight loss, or fitness programs or college educations, before and after. Here we are. This is what it somehow looks like. Every Christian witness to the resurrection. And moreover, every Christian community is first and foremost a gathering of people who are witnesses to the resurrection, who point out there, and somehow by God's grace can point here. Themselves, us, members of the mystical body of Christ risen, and transformed, yes, but somehow tarnished and still soiled by the bruises and bloody dust of the passion, sometimes inflicted by our own ignorance and our own sin, but first and foremost to the call that we have received to show a newness of age, of peace and justice in our world, which is why the tragedy of the abuse crisis is so sad and painful. Every parish is a witness to the resurrection in its time and its place. Every school a witness to the resurrection in its time and its place. Every nursing home, every hospital, every newspaper, witnesses to the resurrection. We do these things because we praise a risen Lord by being part of his mission to transform the world. The entire New Testament, with all its stories and miracles and controversies, can be boiled down to the simple cry, "He has risen." Granted, the statement inspires questions. Who has risen? And risen from what and why? It unfolds, but at essence it remains, he was raised, and then with growing understanding of his divinity, he is risen. Paul to the Corinthians summarizes the whole mystery. Chapter 15 says, "I handed on to you what I received. He died for sin according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose according to the Scriptures. He had to rise and was seen by all those different groups of people." Easter is not just another feast. It's the feast. And even Christmas, with all its tinsel and lights, is only a preparation for today. A clue, if you will, as to what this day is all about and the Paschal mystery is all about. From a few astonished women and two breathless men dashing out of the city gates to 1.2 billion Catholics in the world today and 2 billion Christians in our world, witnesses to the resurrection, feeding the hungry. That's what risen people do. Healing the hurting. That's what risen people do. Advocating for the voiceless. That's what risen people do. Visiting the imprisoned. That's what risen people do. Teaching the ignorant. Exploring the mysteries of the universe. Seeking justice. All of these are signs of our conviction. He has risen. The final age of the world has come. But this is also an ecumenical reality. We cannot not recognize that. And so every evangelical altar call and every person who comes forward to accept Christ as his personal Lord and Savior is an affirmation of the resurrection. And every Protestant church down the street, wherever it is, a witness to the resurrection. And the Russian and Greek Orthodox, who will celebrate Easter by an ancient calendar next weekend, in their countries, witnesses to the resurrection, all of them. And even the white robes at baptism and then again at every Eucharist are somehow intended to be an imitation of the heavenly messenger of the tomb, saying he's not here. He's not dead. He's in Galilee. Amid all the challenges and heartaches of that mixed-up world then, with its different nationalities and religions, with its political activists and non-believers, witnesses in Galilee, our Galilee, to a world in need of hope. As I said, the Holy Father, just a few hours ago on the other side of the world, proclaimed that message in I don't know how many languages. And every Easter greeting that we say, Happy Easter. I said it to several people on the way walking over. Happy Easter. But what it really is a witness to the resurrection. The DNA of the world has changed. He is risen. He is not dead. And because of that, we feel not just the opportunity, but almost the obligation to offer a joyous, hope-filled Easter to you and to every single person we meet. He is risen. Nothing is the same.